2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
We have a developing story on the Front Runner train about what happened this morning about 600 West and 4th South. We're going to get Utah Transit Authority into the conversation in just a moment, but we do know that the cyclist who was on the tracks in that area was killed this morning, Dave.
Yeah, Deb, this is one of the things that really scares me. I've done this so often. I take public transit all the time, and I do get a little bit worried about how aware I am. When you're doing something so often, when you're traveling, you know, whether it's walking or biking, and you've got trains coming and buses, it's easy to lose and stop paying attention. I don't know exactly what happened in this case specifically, but there's been several times when I'm walking around the track station that I am not paying nearly the attention I need to.
Carl, are you there?
I am, and you've got to pay attention.
Carl Arkey, spokesperson for the Utah Transit Authority. Let's walk through what happened this morning. And first of all, let's let our listeners know, is Front Runner back online in terms of its running?
Not full speed, but reduced speeds. And it'll take a little time to catch up and get back on schedule.
Can you walk us through what happened this morning?
Best we know is a gentleman who was, and I don't know where he entered the alignment. The alignment is where the tracks run, and it's the dedicated land that we have for the tracks that run north and south. And I don't know where he got into the alignment. It's obviously not an area where there is a crossing with crossing gates and with lights and bells and all those types of things. So he entered an area that he wasn't supposed to be in, which I know it sounds harsh, but technically it's considered trespassing. And so it was a dark area, I'm sure. It wasn't lit. It's not an area that the train operator was expecting anybody to be. Why he didn't see or hear the train, hard to say. The train has a huge light on the front of it and hard to miss. And plus, if you get that close to it, you should be able to hear it. So not sure exactly. He was walking, I believe, on an eastbound direction, crossing tracks. And it's tragic. It's tragic anytime this happens. And, you know, your heart goes out to it. We don't know the exact circumstances surrounding this particular individual. With no identification on him, it's going to take some time to track down the next of kin. But our heart obviously goes out to his friends and his family.
Carl, can you give us an idea how long it takes for some of these big moving trains to stop?
If it's going full speed, about 79 miles an hour, if they throw the brakes on, I mean, just jam them on, it will take at least a mile, maybe a little bit more, for that train to come to a complete stop. There is no way. There is no way to stop it immediately. You cannot stop on a dime, and you can't change direction. You're going where you're going, and it's going to take a while to get that train slowed down.
Carl Arkey with the Utah Transit Authority. We're talking to him live this morning because there was this terrible situation on involving Front Runner and a cyclist. Happened about 6 o'clock this morning. The cyclist was killed. Carl, before we let you go, I think that's excellent information in terms of how long it could take a train to stop. It takes up to a mile. Does the conductor have any indication of, I mean, I think about 6 o'clock this morning, it was dark outside, any indication that something might be on the tracks up ahead? Is there any sort of technology that way? Or is it just, like, cross your fingers and hope there's nobody on those train tracks as you come into town?
You know, I'm sure there probably is some technology that's being developed now. And in the future, it will be probably throughout the industry. But basically, you know, the operators are really good at focusing on that track and what's ahead of them. That being said, this is a section of track that there is really no expectation that anything or anyone is going to be there. And you can imagine, I mean, these people are operating these trains at various different speeds, sometimes top speed. This train was going about 30 miles an hour because it was coming into Salt Lake Central. Mm-hmm. But even at 30 miles an hour, that's pretty fast. But they're going all the way from Ogden to Provo, Provo to Ogden. That's a lot of ground. That's a lot of terrain. And, you know, you try to keep your eyes out and stay focused, and they're very good at that. But when you don't anticipate somebody being there, obviously when you're coming into a crossing, you're anticipating, okay, there may be something here, we got to pay attention. And they know more about it than I do, that there are certain areas where you have to really keep your ears open, your eyes open, and watch for certain things. But for a 100-mile stretch to be able to see everything and to see that in the dark, pretty tough to do.
Yeah, it's dark out there.
Carl Larkey, thank you for joining us, spokesperson for UTA. And Debbie, nobody can look a mile ahead. It doesn't matter what conductor you have. No one can look that far ahead. If that's how long it takes to stop, whether it's a half mile, a mile, even, you know, 400 yards, it's impossible to see that far.
There was a pretty big crash up in your neck of the woods yesterday on I-15 near Kaysville. I want to play this from Mark Jackson, KSL News Radio, who covered the story.
UHP Sergeant Cameron Roden tells KSL 5 a semi-truck hit a car in the northbound lanes around 200 North Kaysville Monday afternoon during rush hour. The woman inside that car was pinned and had to be extricated.
There's just so much going on, and her to be able to walk away from that without any serious injuries is, you know, very good that we can end it that way and not something more tragic.
Hours later, all lanes were finally cleared. Dash cam video sent to KSL 5 shows the dramatic accident that lasted about 12 seconds as that big rig pushed the passenger car into the Jersey barrier. You can see that video posted right now at KSLNewsRadio.com. Mark Jackson, KSL News Radio.
So what I'm, my read of this, Dave, from a KSL.com article or KSLNewsRadio.com article is that the semi-truck didn't see that car as it was changing lanes. Of course, we know there was some bad weather up there as well, but pinned it in. So you live up there. You said it was a nightmare.
I was minutes before the crash. I mean, minutes before the crash on I-15, I was coming southbound.
You got past it before it happened?
No, it just happened.
I see. Okay.
In fact, I was only backed up maybe a mile or so before I was able to exit. But the storm came in from the west side. I was in Syracuse at the time. And within minutes, we went from, you know, kind of blue skies essentially to wind immediately, and then just an all-out snowstorm where there were inches dropping. So it was right during this time that the crash happened. So you're dealing with not only the crash, but the weather had come in, the snow had started falling. What shocked me, though, is when it happened so early in the afternoon, I was playing pickleball, you know, until about 8:30. And I was shocked. It was still backed up. And as we heard from that report, 9:15 until all lanes were clear. It happened, what, around 2 o'clock in the afternoon?
Yeah, quite a day up there. Thankfully, the driver of that car who had to be extricated.
Incredible.
Sounds like, yeah. Straight ahead, with all this rain and snow that we've had, we know it's not over yet. Kevin Eubank joining the show to tell us what's in store. And also, we're going to talk about flood insurance. Can you buy it if you don't live in a flood zone? We'll find out.
KSL FM Midvale, KSL Salt Lake City. Listen on the KSL News Radio app and in your car at 102.7 FM. KSL News Radio, Utah's all-day companion for news.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.